Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
It's such a privilege for me to be with you here tonight. We had a great time this morning. It was about the same size, if not a bit more, folks, this morning here. How many are here tonight that were this morning here? Oh, a couple of you. So, folks, it's a great privilege, as I said. This evening, I'm going to speak to you, and the message is entitled Heart. And you're going to figure out along the way why I've entitled it Heart. How many of you have heard of the lead singer of a heavy metal band called Korn? Okay. Have you repented that you listened to that music? Brian Welsh was the lead singer. Repent again, please. No, I'm just teasing. In any case, so I watched this amazing testimony of him. He's got tattoos right up to his ear. My son gets very upset with me because I comment whenever I see these soccer players, they're also covered with tattoos. Now, some of you might have tattoos, and let's have another talk regarding that another day. But I'm from the old school, and there is a scripture that says you shouldn't draw any pictures on the temple or your body. But I think regarding tattoos, and that's not part of the message, why would you put a sticker on a Ferrari? Do any of you stick a sticker on a Ferrari? Your body is God's Ferrari, man. It's stunning. It's well made. So, leave it as it is. But in any case, this guy's got tattoos right up to his ears. And he shares his testimony how he gets radically saved. And what happened is his wife is a drug addict. He was a drug addict. And his wife left him, deserted him and his little daughter. His daughter was 4 or 5 years old. And then he was very upset with his wife because she deserted them. And at one stage, he started hearing his daughter sing the following song. All day high, I dream about sex. And that shocked him to his very core. His little girl was being polluted by the music that he's putting out there. And she's singing that as her frame of reference, as a set of values. Now, I'm not sure she understood the words. But once he gets to understand them, he's already been indoctrinated. And he was like horrified. He knew that is not right as a father. That his daughter is singing these horrid songs or the lyrics of the songs that he was promoting. And he was very popular. It's a very large band. They were making multi-millions of dollars. And and this thing started bothering him so much that he had sleepless nights. And he mentioned to an estate agent friend of his that was investing in property with him. He said to him, you know, I have this problem. My daughter's singing my lyrics. You know, I don't know what to do. It's really getting me down. And the estate agent said to him, and he knows the guy is a Christian. He said to him, well, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest. So go to Jesus. But this guy doesn't have the foggiest idea who Christ is. He doesn't believe really that God exists. He didn't grow up in a Christian house. He's got no frame of reference of Christianity or Christ. And so he just says this flippant play one day, and he says, Lord, if you're real, show me, you know, and then took more drugs. Nothing happened. And then this friend said to him, you know, if you want to come with me to church, you're welcome. No pressure. He said, okay, I'll go with. Goes to church, and he says before he knew it, he was up front with an altar call, on his knees, weeping, and he came to Christ. But then he goes back home, and he calls it speed. I thought, do people still use that today? It's an old drug. In any case, I don't know. So in any case, he uses and he rolls the speed, or he sniffs it. I don't know. The details I'm not aware of. But he gets into another high with speed, right after he gets saved. And he does that for a week about, and then at one moment he's talking to God on his high, and the Lord speaks to him in an audible voice and says to him, you must stop with the speed. I love you. I care for you. If you continue, I'll withdraw my glory and my blessing from you. Turn now. And he says, like, he said, he got such a shock. He was snapped out of his high right away. And right after that, he experienced the glory of God to such an extent when he made an inner decision that he says the high of the Holy Spirit was higher than the high that he was on. And he never put his mouth, took all his drugs and flushed it away in the toilet and made a radical turn for Christ. Now, why am I telling you this long story? It's a stunning testimony. It's powerful. But the reason is he was being a bad example to his child. And Scripture says, Matthew 18, verse 6 to 7 says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. And without knowing Scripture, he knew as a daddy of a little girl, he cannot walk in the way that he's walking. He cannot let his child follow in his footsteps. He just knew it was wrong. A gut feeling said, it's not right. But he was being used as an instrument to pollute his child. His child has innocence. His child is pure. But you know what? If we apply that to our lives, we that are adults, some of you are young adults, but somewhere along the along our lives, we've lost our childlikeness, or some of our childlikeness. And what does Scripture say about being childlike? Scripture says the kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. And so we have to figure out, but what has robbed us of our childlikeness? Who of you want the kingdom of God? If you want the kingdom of God, you must become like a child. What is the kingdom of God? It's God's authority, His rulership, His manifestation through your breath, through your very existence. That's the kingdom of God. Him ruling, reigning, using you as a mighty instrument, living in you, keeping you peace, giving you everything that you need. You're living in His beautiful kingdom because He's in you and He's working through you. That's the kingdom of God. But something, and there's a lot of things that have polluted us along our road of growing up. What are those pollutions? Those pollutions are sophistication. We've become sophisticated. We become aware of nice things. And they per se aren't wrong, but when they block our childlikeness, they become a hindrance to inheriting the kingdom of God. We become aware of things. We become very aware of position and status. We become materialistic. And the opinion of others starts mattering to us. And that starts taking away our childlikeness. Now, if we go look at Matthew 18, it says, it should be there, yeah. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So here, there are aspects of being a child. It's basically the aspect of the child that Christ means is humility, humbles himself. As a child, he will enter the kingdom. So that is a key aspect of being a child, is humility. But if we have to go look at how do we return to becoming childlike, I want to tackle it from three angles. The first angle is, how do we return to becoming a child in essence? So your core. How do I return to becoming a child in essence? That's the first thing. The second thing is, how do I become a child in my actions? And then, how do I become childlike again in my relationship with God? Okay, a child in essence, in the crowd. Let's start in this block. Give me one word that describes a child to you. Anyone? Say again? Fearless. Anyone else? Two from each block. Happy. This block. Imagination, yes. Innocence, the other person? Just one. Go for it. Eagerness. Say again. Careless, yes. They believe. That is very true. These are all the essence of a child. Purity, innocence, blatant honesty. I mean, we have two children. They're both teenagers today. But when they were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, they would say things in the wrong time, in the wrong place that embarrassed their mom and me severely. And I promise you, if you had to go ask your parents, you did the same. And who of you have got kids that are that age? Yeah. Oh, they're all at home. They don't want to get the kids to catch a cold. In any case, so the innocence of the child is his very essence, his humility, his receptivity. And how many of us have, when a child has said something and we think it's the wrong statement for the wrong time, have experienced a measure of irritation? I fall into that trap. Irritation with the honesty, the blatant honesty of that child. Now, there is a very powerful preacher that lived in the 18th century, beginning 19th century, 18th century. His name is Charles Finney. Now, he would go and preach, and many thousands came to Christ. But then sometimes he'd get on a train and he wouldn't preach on a train, or he wouldn't preach on the bus. He'd just sit there and pray. And then people would just come, move all closer to him. And some of them would fall on their knees and say, "Sir, will you please help us? We feel so lost. We desperately need to be saved. We feel so heavy burdened by our sins. Have you got, we just know you've got something that we need to hear." Without preaching one word. And he'd lead them to Christ in those coaches, those days they didn't have buses, but the train coaches, their public transport. And that just says to me that he had the kingdom of God to such an extent in his life that people were drawn to Christ by the purity that had grown in his life, by the innocence and the genuineness that he resembled. And because of the kingdom being so established in his life, people would just be drawn. They just get saved without him saying one word. Let's go look at a child in action. Specifically, a child's words. The action of words. When a child says something, they don't say it with a stab. Am I right? When a child says something, he says it innocently. He doesn't say it with a stab. There's no ulterior motive when a 3 or 4 year says something or asks something. There's no dig or cruelty meant. Would you agree with me? Well, we want to return to becoming childlike. So we must return to having the words of a child. A child says something with purity, with honesty. Their words have got no ill intent, no cruelty. There's no nastiness in a child's words. When they get older, they become nasty. But when they 3, 4 years old, it's just innocence. It's purity. There's no dig. There's no ulterior motive. There's no something behind the scenes. We as adults, unfortunately, get polluted along the way and we start using words to hurt and to cut. And they become negative. And often a child uses an inappropriate word in our mind in an inappropriate time, but innocently. We're watching this one movie. And this family, very wealthy family, were on their way in America somewhere to a cabin that the wealthy father had built for the family. But the relationships in this family's life was broken. The father had no relationship with the mother, and she was very upset with him. He was never at home. He's always working. He's a building contractor. And the children were bickering. There are three children, two of which were teenagers. The oldest son was fighting and nailing his teenage sister. And then the 5-year or 6-year old girl, she was getting it from her teenage siblings. They were always attacking her, criticizing her, and they all along the whole road they were fighting with each other. The father with the mother and the kids with each other, and then the parents with the kids. And it was just really an unpleasant family. They were just at loggerheads all the way. They arrive at the cabin and there was a storm threat, and they just arrive on time because they said, if you don't get to your decision by this time, you're going to be stranded. There's going to be gale force winds. There's snow and it's terrible. They need to get under shelter. So they just arrive on time And they are there for a few, for a half an hour, and they hear a knock on the door. And there's another family that had to leave their vehicle because had they driven any further, they would have made an accident. They need shelter. Can they come and shelter with them in this new, beautiful new home that the father built for the family? But he's never there. And the mother says, doesn't help us. You give us all the gifts, but we never see you. You're not helping me to bring up the kids. You're not a present father. And so this other family rocks up. It's a father and a mother with two teenage children. And they're the exact opposite to this other fighting family. This new family, the two teenage children, I still have to see that, but it's a beautiful example, are very polite with one another. I don't know how many of you, were you ever nice with your younger sister or older brother? Okay, you weren't. He's honest. Okay, but anyways, this other family was like a real heavenly family. But the father and mother were nice with each other. They were polite. They were considerate. And the teenage brother was nice with his teenage sister. And it was like a total opposite to the family they're visiting. Christmas Eve, they had to stay another evening there because the storm didn't clear up. And Christmas Eve, this family that is visiting the home family say to them, could we do a Christmas tradition? Our Christmas tradition is we light a candle, we pass the candle from one person to the other in a circle around the fire, and then whoever gets the candle must say one thing they are thankful for. And so the candle moves from one person to the other, and each one says they're thankful for this, and it comes to this 5 or 6 year old girl, and she says the following, I'm so thankful that you have come into our lives to show us how it is to love one another. Childlike. Was there a stab in that? Did she mean to hurt anyone? No, she didn't. She was just being honest in her words. She was being kind. She was just saying, she's actually lovingly addressing the big white elephant in the room. Without any ill intent, without any negative thoughts, just being blatantly honest. The adults could have reacted and said, how dare you? They just kept. It was like a deathly silence in this room. As a child, the truth comes out of mouths of children. In a loving, without demeaning, without ill intent involved in that. And we as children of God have to return to becoming like children. We have to surrender our hearts, speak the truth with no ill intent, and speak the truth in love. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, make me like a child again, because I want your kingdom. I want your kingdom to ooze through me, to control me, to totally take me over. A child, let's talk about another action of a child. A child on a playground. Have you seen two, three-year-olds or four-year-olds playing at a creche? And the one comes down a slide, and the other one's holding the edge of the slide, and the other one zips over the hand of the one holding the slide, and his hand is hurt, and he turns around, slaps the one that just hurt his hand, and the other one slaps him back, and they fight, and they scream, and they cry, and they walk away, and a minute later, they're playing as if nothing has happened. Have you noticed that? Did any of them apologize to one another? So what do we learn from that as adults? They give forgiveness automatically. They don't wait for an apology. It doesn't say forgive 7 times 70 a day. If you get asked sorry, you must first apologize. If they're adults, they interfere, obviously. The adults come, say sorry, and then they say sorry. But they've forgiven each other long before the sorry. If they're now adults, they play again a minute or two later as if nothing has happened. You want the kingdom of God? Return to that, son and daughter of God. Give forgiveness quickly and easily without any reserve. A child forgives. They turn the other cheek. It's like nothing ever happened. Let's look at a child and their emotions. Does a child have masks? Do they hide what they're feeling? No. They bear their emotions. They say if they're sad, they say if they're upset, they cry if they're upset, they laugh if they're happy, if they're free, they're exuberant. Somebody said here, they take risks, something like that. They just do what they feel to do. They show the emotions. I'm not saying uncontrolled emotions, but I believe in our culture, we have fallen into the trap of having so many masks, we do not share our hearts. We do not share our... If you want the kingdom of God, you must become honest with your emotions. You must say, without a stab, without any ill intent, say what's on your heart, without, just in love, share your emotions with your loved ones, even with your colleagues. Say, you know, that upset me, that really hurt me. Right there. I'm really disappointed. Not you have this, no pointing fingers, just I'm experiencing this. I'm not, many of us, if we get stuck in living life with masks, it will destroy you. If you do not give vent in a controlled way of your emotions and you live a life with masks, you will self-destruct. And unfortunately, as adults, we lose our childlikeness because we live with masks. All of you sitting here are sitting with masks, including myself, standing. Who of you say you don't have a mask? Yeah, be honest with ourselves. We do. And if you, the more masks you have, the less childlike you are. Because children do not have masks. What you see is what you get. And some of us become irritated because of those truthful comments that children make. Our artificial plastic veneer masks get us to react to the child just lovingly pointing out the white elephant in the room. We get offended. And you, if you start getting offended at that, you must know you are starting to believe the lie is truth. That it's all right to have a mask. It's all right to make as if nothing's wrong, when actually there really is something severely wrong. My wife and I were missionaries in the Middle East, and we lived in Cyprus. And we were sitting having coffee in one corner in the middle of the capital city, Nicosia. And the next moment we hear this crash and two cars collided. And the two Greeks, who's Greek here? Anybody Greek? Anybody? Ah, you'll understand the story. Okay. So now we're sitting there on the corner of this coffee shop. And these two Greek men jump out and they are shouting at the top of their voices. And they... look a bit dangerous, but come up. I'm not going to be scared of you. You're not Al-Qaeda, hey? Okay. Oh, he's a Buddha Al-Qaeda. Okay. So they're shouting and screaming. And so they're going like this. They're like a millimeter away. Their noses are like this from each other. And they're going ballistic. And so we're watching this, like this whole show in front of us. And she can vouch for it. And the next minute, their voices become quieter. And the next minute, before they became quieter, the cars behind them, those drivers jump out and join the fight. So the cars behind this guy join him. They agree with him. And the drivers behind this guy, they agree with him. And so we have two crowds fighting and shouting. And we can't understand a word of that Greek. You speak Greek. We can't. Shame on you. Learn it. And so we can't understand the Greek. But then after a while, the voices become hushed and it becomes quiet. The next moment, they put out their hands, they shake hands, and the others that also joined the fight also start shaking hands. It was an amazing scene. And these two guys hug, get back in their cars, and they go. Would you say they're honest about their emotions? Would you say that's more biblical than our culture? The average South African, Afrikaner, English culture is, there's a big white elephant in the room and we make as if it doesn't exist. Not saying generally. I'm saying generally. There are exceptions, obviously, to that rule. But generally, we just try to avoid things. We do not lovingly approach things. We do not have the guts to show our emotions. Because we get taught by our culture, have a mask. Make as if nothing is wrong. That's unnatural. That breeds sickness. That causes the crumbling of the bones. A friend of mine was sharing with me, he was traveling with his teenage child, 14, 15 years old. And this child, he said, was an amazing boy. His boy always accepted everybody, loved everybody, welcomed everybody, always brought strange kids to play with them that they didn't even know the parents, but this child was an all-encompassing, all-embracing child. Went to high school and there came a change. And they were driving in the car and this young boy or young man, 14, 15, said to his dad, look at that one's clothes and look at, you know, look at that person and look at, and you know, that guy does this. And the father said, stop, what's become of you? You always accepted. You didn't look at color, you didn't look at size, you didn't look at dress. You just always would accept everybody as they came to you. And now you're pointing fingers. He said, my son, do not lose your childlikeness. Don't allow the grown-up world to rob you of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. You come to I stayed now with Yaku. And his children didn't know me and they were very withdrawn. And I think one of them is more of an introvert than the other two. And they don't really want to. But the more I engage, the more I play what they're playing and I do funny things, the warmer they get to me. Because I really want to give them love. I love children and they're so cute for me. But you know what? No matter how introvert a child is, if they see genuine love from someone else, they give it back. They recognize genuine love and they give back. They reciprocate what they receive. That's being like a child. To recognize genuine love, to receive it, and then to give it back. Not to withhold, not to be a stiff, I will not love anyone, you know, or my mother used to share with me, they used to hate visiting one aunt of hers. We grew up in the Free State. Because nobody knows it. Tani Noni, when they visit Tani Noni and they always kiss. Who comes from the Free State? Soon groet julle mekaar in Pretoria. Die Afrikaanse mens. Do you kiss on the mouth still? We still do it in the Free State. Who doesn't do it anymore? You still do it, eh? So this Tani Noni, they'd kiss her and then she'd bite them. So they hated visiting Tani Noni. Because Noni doesn't give love, you know. You want the kingdom of God? Receive genuine love and give it back. Give it back. That's the kingdom of God. None of you have got funny stories like that in your families? Ah, you lying man. They're very funny people amongst the Afrikaners. I'm half Afrikaans, half Lebanese. So I criticize both sides. Okay. Then becoming a child towards God. A few points about being a child in action. Child towards God. What would you say? Somebody said here, yeah, they believe everything. Hey, who said that here? Yeah. Was it you? What was it you said? They just believe. That's the very key aspect of becoming a child towards God. A child expects all, trusts all, and believes all in their relationship with God. When I was a missionary, I hadn't met my wife yet, but I was working with World Mission Center, and they had a dining room, and they would say to us, Sundays you can invite any friend to come have a meal. We have a buffet. You can invite a friend. You pay minimum fee. So I met this stunning couple at one church that I visited here, and I was a missionary for 4 or 5 years. And this couple came, I invited them, they came to visit with me, and they had a newborn baby. And I was sharing powerful testimonies. I was sharing a story about, I remember that time, about a Vietnamese evangelist missionary that went to go visit a Vietnamese town. And the Vietnamese town that he visited, they were Shintoist Buddhist. And they did not want to hear any other message of any other God. They believed in themselves and ancestral worshippers. And so they beat this missionary up to such a pulp that his eyes swelled up completely. He couldn't see through his eyes. And they fastened rocks around him and they threw him in the river to drown. And while he's sinking, he sees a yellow light and he starts breathing underwater. This is a true story. Now right there, I'll get back to the story now. Right there, as I'm saying, He sees the yellow light. He starts breathing underwater. The baby starts crying of this couple. And I lose their attention. I'm talking. I'm sharing this most powerful. Did I lose anyone's attention when I spoke about the light underneath the water and the guy's breathing? Did anybody miss that point? It's gripping. Am I right? So I'm telling them this gripping story. And while I'm telling them this gripping story, the baby, and daddy and mommy looking at their four-week-old baby, and it's as if I'm talking to the sky. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. And eventually I just stop talking because they taking a little baby, feeding it. And at that stage, before, a few months prior, I'd been saying to God, God, you say you love me. But how do I know you love me? Show me your love. I know it up here, but it's not in here. And I must love you in return. And I can't really say I can, really. I respect you, God, but I can't say I love you. Love the Lord your God. We just say it easily, but do you truly love God? You must think about this stuff. And I thought, my goodness, Lord, I can't really say I love you. I want to love you. And right there, as this little baby is crying, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. The Lord says to me, do you see how that baby has its parents' full attention? You have my full attention. You see how that baby is cared for by its parents? I will care for you a million times more. I love you more than you can think, dream, or imagine. That's how much I care for you. More. But that is an example. It's a symbol. It's a portrayal of my love for you. And that child is totally dependent on its parents. To be childlike is to be like that baby as well. Totally dependent on daddy and mommy. And knowing that God gives you His full attention. His eye is on you. His hand is underneath you. His other hand is above you. He surrounds you with angels. His Holy Spirit is there. He's your provider. He's your caretaker, etc., etc., etc. That child is totally dependent on those parents. And God speaks to me right there and then. You want to hear the rest of the story of the missionary? Okay. So he's busy drowning. He starts breathing with his yellow light. He washes out on a riverbank. He walks back to the village. Gutsy guy, eh? They just nearly want to kill him. And he walks back. They think it's a ghost. They all scared, fearful, become white as sheets. And he says to them, I'm back because Jesus loves you. And they open their ears. They listen to him. The whole town got saved. That's what happened. I shared this story. I mean, can you believe it? I lost their attention. What a powerful story. I mean, I can't believe it myself. All right. We spoke to another lady. We're talking about being a child towards God in our childlikeness. Spoke to another lady, and she has a ministry, Divorce Recovery, which we started with her in the previous church. And she was sharing about her two children. The one is studying one very fancy degree at UCT. Other child's also studying, the younger boy. They're both in their 20s, but they both have chosen that God doesn't exist. They've decided, they're atheists. They've both been exposed to amazing stuff. They were part of the church, who were there, and they've seen miracles, they've seen signs and wonders. And then she asked the son, why do you choose to believe that God doesn't exist? I mean, he had given his life to the Lord, but he turned his back completely on Christ. And he mentioned, and he said, yeah, I prayed for something when I was a teenager, and God didn't listen, didn't answer my prayer. Part of being a child of God, part of being childlike, and part of receiving the kingdom of God is God may say no. When you say to your child, no, and they hear that tone of voice, they don't say, are you no longer my father or mother? No. They dependent. It's relationship. It's love. It's family. And part of being a child of God and receiving the kingdom of God and being childlike is God may say no. And He knows better than you. He really does. There's a good reason He's saying no. Let's talk about closeness. Is it cow? It's come. Fantastic. You're with us. Good. So, closeness. Child in closeness. One 21-year-old student was telling me, he said to me, he still clearly remembers walking in a shopping mall at the age of 2, 3, 4, and then he just gets in a daydream and he walks off and he misses his mother, and then he realizes, where is his mother? And he says he got heart palpitations. He was traumatized and he frantically ran to search for his mother, crying uncontrollably, where's my mother? Eventually, he finds his mother and he says, at the age of 21 or he's 22, he still remembers the trauma of that. Losing closeness with his mother. Have you seen little kids that wander off? And then suddenly they realize, but where's mommy and daddy? And they look and they just go frantic. Have you seen that? What do we learn from that? Anybody wants to say? How do we apply that to becoming childlike? The mother represents God. The father represents God. The child wandering off represents us. Tell me, anyone. Come on, you guys are clever. Yes. Yes. And the question is, how traumatized are we when we are not close with God? We want to become children, eh? Who wants the kingdom of God? And you say, God, let me be traumatized if I miss one day not spending time with you. How traumatized am I and you when we've skipped one day in the presence of God? One day away from the Lord. One day not giving Him attention. One day not being close to Him. How does that affect us? We must eat and drink from the Lord. We must have our very dependence on God. Absolute nurturing needed from the Most High God. And for that, we have to stay close to our Christ. Our separation from Him should cause us trauma. And if it doesn't, you aren't where you're supposed to be. If it does, you're at the right place in your relationship with Christ. You must become so addicted to our intimacy with Christ that we cannot go even an hour without talking to Him. Now, I fall short. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm addressing myself as much as I'm addressing you. That's becoming another aspect of childlikeness is a child that's like a sponge. I mean, I was watching Emma, Yaku's little daughter, and she was like, they gave her pieces of toast, and then you could see her little hands were learning motoric skills in how to grab the toast so she can bring it to her mouth. She's learning to eat solids now. And that child looks, absorbs everything that the parent does. They're like an empty data or an empty hard drive, eh? So this empty hard drive, they absorb everything that they see the parent do. They learn from everything around them. I mean, Yaku said this morning, he'd love to see how a child copes with every new thing they see, a flower for the first time, or a dog, or a pet, or whatever that's beautiful. But that child drinks in, is like a sponge that absorbs everything from its parents and its surroundings. So where does that leave us being children of God in our relationship with God? How much must we be sponges of God, drinking in everything that He has for us, wanting whatever He wants to give us? Because a child looks at the likes and the dislikes of the parents, listens to the attitudes, the tone of voice, like little computer, absorb everything. And God is saying to us, if you want to become like a child, absorb whatever I want to give you. Don't have resistance. Don't block it. Drink it in. Drink it up like a sponge does. Children are monkey see, monkey do. we just visited with friends, and the friend said to me and Nordine, yes, they can see so much of us in our son and daughter. Little quirks, behaviors, attitudes. You can't help it. As much as you don't like aspects of your parent, you pick up aspects of your parent. And you can try to stop it as much as possible. They are there. You can work against the sin, yes. You can work against the lack of the fruit of the Spirit, yes. By the Spirit of God, He can give you ability to overcome the fruits of the flesh. But those little nuances and approach to life, you learn from your parents. Hey man, don't you want to be known as, hey, that man, that woman has soaked up Christ to such an extent, we just see Jesus oozing through them. That's becoming childlike. Being so hungry after God. Being so desirous of what the Lord has for you. One other aspect. Can I have a bit of water? Oh, here's the water. One other aspect is, have you seen a child learning to walk? Does that child have in its mind, am I going to make this or not? I'm not sure whether this is going to work. I'm doubting. No. Monkey see, monkey wants to do. Full stop. We're all monkeys, including me. Copycats. That's how we learn. That child sees the older brother, older sister, father, mother, uncle, auntie, everyone walking. And in their mind, I will walk too. Full stop. There's no impossibility of this walking. I will get it right, come what may. Am I right or wrong? The kingdom of God belongs to those that are like children. There's no impossibility when you consider who your God is. And you tell your problem, this is my God. You don't tell God about it. We say, problem, check out my God. There's nothing impossible for Him. And to become childlike is to have determination and a faith that is resolute. That child, have you seen a child with little or cleft feet or turned in feet? They fall 10 times more than the feet than children with normal feet. Have you noticed? Do you think their physical impairment stops them from walking? Mm-mm. Impossibility is not in their vocabulary. It's not there. They will get it right no matter what. Who wants the kingdom of God? I say, Lord, I want that. I want to return to that gutsy, stubborn faith that takes impossibility as an impossibility. There's no such thing as an impossibility. If God has spoken, it will happen. And God speaks. His whole scripture is full of promises for you and I. If God says it, that settles it. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, make me a sponge. Lord, give me that determination. Give me that faith that says no matter what happens, this will happen. This will come right. I will have a breakthrough in this situation. Never giving up. Always wanting to learn from Him. Copy Him, follow Him, honor Christ, worship Christ, our parent, in His home, in His kingdom. A child never gives up. Never, ever gives up. When they want to walk, they're going to walk. Close your eyes, please. I'd like you all to close your eyes, just so that you can focus on the Lord right now, right here. Some of you are saying, yo, Mac, I realize I've lost a lot of my childlikeness and I want to become like a child again. I want to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to become like a child again. Those of you that say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to return to the innocence, the purity, the humility, to be a child in essence, to be a child in actions. in just giving forgiveness easily. To be a child in my relationship with you, believing all, trusting all, expecting all. I want to get back to that place. Those of you that say, I want it, go on your knees right now. I'm going to give you a few moments to ask God to help you to return to that place. Father God, thank you that you are more committed to us becoming like children than what we are. Thank you, God, that you've heard every amazing, pure, honest prayer tonight. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a hearer of prayers and a fulfiller of prayers and an answerer of prayers. Thank you, God, that in the days and the weeks following, you'll speak to your children. You'll show them areas they need to return to becoming childlike. I pray for your conviction to be heavy upon every one of us. Your clear perspective, your guidance, your insight to be pulsating in our hearts regarding your kingdom and inheriting and living in your kingdom because of your awesome power and glory. Thank you, Lord. You are faithful to answer each one's prayer. And thank you, God, that you remind us of our commitment, our cry to you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we close, there's one final point. Part of being a child, and somebody said, is they take risks. A child is free. Would you agree with me? Part of becoming a child, can I ask the band to come up? Or, oh, we're going to cue the video so long, we're going to play it now. I'm going to play a music video. Part of becoming a child, we're going to play the video. You guys can stand up here. Is being free. That's being childlike. To enjoy love. To enjoy life. To dance before the Lord. Now all of you here said, we want to become like children. Now does a child withhold when music stirs them? Do they hold back? No, they dance. And part of the prophetic action that you really want to become childlike, tonight you're going to dance. Who says no? You may say no. We have a shotgun there aimed at you. No. We're just teasing. You don't have to, but I want to encourage you, challenge you. Get free tonight. Come to the front. I'll show you a Christian dance. Come, brother. Oh, what hunka punk is. You're right. All right. Grab my arm there. No, this. So, on the music, you do this. This is a nice Christian dance. All right, so you guys can come do it. We're going to sing a song, an old song. It's about the river of God. Sets my feet to dancing. We have a video clip, am I right? Play it. Come to the front, stand up. Let's show God. We truly want to become like children.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.